Good evening, everyone. Today's sharing is from Psalm 29, titled The Majestic and Caring Voice of God. The aim of my sharing today is to encourage awe at the majestic and caring voice of God. And in today's prayer meeting, in the context of today's prayer meeting, for us to be expectant to hear His voice. So before I begin, let us pray for God to speak through His word. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are God that communicates. So speak, Lord, for your servants here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite us to read the psalm aloud together. The reason why I chose this psalm and is really because during family worship a few weeks ago, I discovered the beauty of this psalm. And I realized that maybe the reason why I've always missed out the beauty of this psalm is because I've only read it silently, which is really not the design of most psalms. So let us read this psalm aloud together. 1, 2, 3. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars, yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf and discovereth the forests. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. We'll take a look at verses 1 and 2 at the end of my sharing. So let's first look at verses 3 to 9. And it's obvious that the psalm's main theme is the voice of the Lord. 7 times is the phrase, voice of the Lord, repeated. And I do not think this 7 times is a coincidence. You know, what stood out to me was the usage of the word voice. Most of the time when I think of God speaking, I think of the word of God. But here the psalmist chooses to focus on God's voice rather than God's word. And maybe it's because coming from a conservative church, we like to speak less of God's voice and more of God's words, lest we sound perhaps too experiential or too charismatic. But, and one might even ask, is there really a difference between word and voice? A bit of Googling helped me out here. And what I found out is that words are what makes up our message, right? Words are what we want to convey. But in our speech and when we speak to one another, our words are conveyed through our voice, which consists of pitch, pace, tone, and volume. We intuitively know this as Singaporeans. We know the difference between okay lah and okay lah. And the difference is not in the words, but the difference is in the voice. In other words, words are what we say, voice is how we say it. The voice is the medium in which the word is communicated. And you know, oftentimes when we speak to someone, we don't actually remember the words, but remember the voice. It is the voice that gives the lasting impression. And so it is here that the psalmist calls our attention to the voice of the Lord and highlights the voice of the Lord in vivid terms. Somehow, when I'm reading verses 3 to 9, I imagine a martial arts exhibition. So imagine with me that you're in a stadium full of people waiting to watch a famous martial artist perform. The cheers are deafening, the drums are rolling, the cymbals are clashing, and then suddenly you hear the voice of Bruce Lee above all the other noises going like, ha! Right? And that sounds exactly like verse 3 to us. And out comes Bruce Lee onto the stage in his yellow jumpsuit. Someone brings him a block of wood, and ha! He snaps it into two with one swift kick. That sounds just like verse 5. And out comes one of Bruce Lee's disciples, like a sheep to the slaughter. And ha, with what, 1-inch punch, the disciple flies away. Or you see him maybe cutting through a watermelon with his head. which sounds like verse 7, and maybe comes out another 10 people to spar with him, and without breaking a sweat, he sends all of them running home. Wow. Imagine the scene. Imagine the majesty of Bruce Lee in the stadium. Does everyone speak of his glory? It sounds like that, just that in the text before us, the voice of the Lord is infinitely better than Bruce Lee in at least two ways. First, Bruce Lee uses his voice to intimidate, but Bruce Lee has to exert large arm and leg muscles just to complete his task. But not so for our Lord. He speaks. The voice of the Lord doesn't just intimidate. The voice of the Lord acts. If someone brings a block of wood to the Lord, he speaks and it breaks into two. Tomorrow there will be manna, the Lord tells Moses, and it was so. So yes, the Lord is infinitely better than the most glorious man because his voice can create, sustain, and destroy. Second, the Bruce Lee of my imagination was just clicking blocks of wood. He was just fighting men of perhaps at most 1.8 meter tall. But in this passage, the psalmist calls us to zoom out of the stadium and see God working on a grander scale. Instead of the voice of the Lord being louder than the crowds, we are called to imagine the voice of the Lord thundering over howling winds and storms. Instead of blocks of wood, we are talking about the cedars of Lebanon, which are around 35 meter tall and 2.4 meter in diameter. And the voice of the Lord breaks them into pieces. The voice of the Lord doesn't just make 10 people fall. The voice of the Lord flattens the entire forest. It shakes the large wilderness expanse. In fact, if you read the progression of the psalm, you'll notice the psalmist is not just comparing the voice of the Lord to random large objects. Rather, he's imagining and observing a storm. In verse 3, it starts in the water and it makes its way towards the coast of Lebanon. There, the hurricane builds up and sends huge trees flying like young ox. There you see flames of fire or lightning coming off the hurricane, and together with it, an earthquake shakes the large wilderness. It scares the deer so much that it gives birth. In the wake of the hurricane, you see the forest completely flawed. That is the terrifying majesty of the voice of the Lord. Indeed, his voice is terrifying, and all humans should be awestruck by the glory of his voice. Thus far, we have considered verses 3 to 9. We have seen that the majesty of the voice of the Lord. Such majesty, who can resist? Such power, who can fight against? Indeed, verse 10 is a fitting conclusion, describing the Lord as the one who sits as king over the flood, as king forevermore. And think of the flood as a metaphor for chaos, for uncertainty, for death, and see that the Lord sits king above all of that forever. This is the king we believe in. This is the king we trust. But the good news really is in verse 11. Remember that voice consists of pitch, pace, and volume. To this point, it feels like the pace has been ever increasing. Your heart rate increasing, the volume increasing. But at verse 11, everything is calm. The reality is we, as God's subjects, need not be terrified at his destructive power. Rather, we are strengthened by it. Verse 11 says, the Lord will give strength unto his people. Are you fighting despair? Are you fighting the chaos of this world? Are you fighting a hurricane? Are you having difficulty having some peace at home with crazy children? Or are you afraid of the comments that your bosses might make when you ask again for that four-day church leave for church camp this June? Are you afraid for the doctor's appointment tomorrow? Or are you afraid of correcting a brother in sin when you're going to visit him tomorrow? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. May we be encouraged and emboldened that if God be for us, no one can be against us. But more than that, though the voice of the Lord thunders, though the voice of the Lord shakes the forests, his voice with great thundering sounds from above, but to his own children, He whispers His love. Isn't that what we see in the last phrase of this psalm? The Lord will bless. And that is God using His voice. The Lord will bless His people with peace. The powerful, majestic voice of God speaks calm into our souls. Indeed, when all is considered, someone might argue that the psalmist is just speaking in metaphors. He doesn't actually hear God's voice in the storm. He doesn't actually hear God's voice in the thunder. But not so for us. Because we did hear Him in the storm. We heard Him when the disciples cry out, "Rabbi, carest thou not that we perish?" And we heard Him speak above the sound of many waters, "Peace, be still." And there was a great calm. Indeed, the voice of Jesus is powerful. Isn't that why we have confidence? Because we have heard Jesus say, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." What then should be our response? The answer is right there in verses 1 and 2, begging for us to feel it, begging for us to do it. "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Notice that the psalmist is not directly calling us to worship. He's calling the mighty or the heavenly beings to worship God with their glory and with their strength. But what effect does this have on us or on the congregation that was hearing and singing this psalm? Indeed, it inspires even greater worship. The call to worship transposes our hearts into the spiritual realm where we join the angels' chorus and sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." And indeed, if you allow me some flexibility in my Bible interpretation, I might say the threefold "give unto the Lord" in verses 1 and 2 might very well be saying, "Give unto the Father, give unto the Son, give unto the Spirit, give Him the glory, great things He hath done." It might very well be saying, "Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost." Indeed, when we transpose our hearts into the spiritual realm, we can find true meaning to worship the Lord in the beautiful holiness that He bought for us on the cross. Today, we have considered the powerful voice of God. And we have considered that this powerful voice cares for us. It speaks peace to us, strengthens us, and steels us. May this encourage us and remind us that the next time we are in a storm, whether physical or metaphorical, that the Lord rules over all and that He cares for us. As we go into a season of prayer, let us come first with praise and worship. Let us once again affirm that God is able to be heard in and above the chaos of our lives. Let us once again be in awe of the power of God. Then let us with many voices, whether loud or soft, sad or joyful, make our petitions to God through Jesus Christ. And let us await to hear His voice. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word that reminds us that you are all powerful. Thank you for reminding us that your voice terrifies, and yet we can rest under the shadow of your wings. And most importantly, thank you for Jesus Christ, whom we have heard and who gives us eternal peace when we call upon Him. In His name we pray. Amen.